Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, author of The Thunder Heist, and I am joined by my fellow writers, starting with Rob J. Hayes.
Hello, I'm Rob J. Hayes, author of the War Eternal trilogy. It's not a trilogy anymore. It's a series, and here's book 4.
And Michael R. Fletcher.
It's me. I am Michael R. Fletcher, author of Beyond Redemption, Manifest Illusions, Obsidian Path, City of Sacrifice, and some other fucking books.
And lastly, Dirk Ashton.
I am Dirk Ashton, author of the Paternus trilogy.
And for today's episode, we never really do much preparation for these things, as you probably are aware of, but there is even less preparation for this episode, which is possibly scary considering what I am thinking of doing. So I have not told the others what I have been considering for this episode. I'm just going to read out the listener question that prompted this.
So we are afraid.
You should be afraid. So we had one of our patrons, Bender, write in who said, love Bender. The maps episode and discussions about books that will only be spoken about but never written to avoid spoilers. Good job. So I request an episode where the team creates such a book that will never be written cooperatively. As in, take turns for every facet of the book. For example, Jed chooses the world, Rob chooses the theme, Dirk chooses the first plot point, Mike chooses the second plot point, and so on. And by the end of the episode, you have the blurb of a never-to-be-written book. So being authors, I'd leave it all to you on how to go about the turns and choices for each turn. I reckon it'd be a fun watch to see the idea of a book written by chaos personified. So
yeah, okay. This is going to be a catastrophe.
As someone who never plans anyway, that makes no sense, but let's do it.
This is going to be terrifying. So let me grab my notebook so that I can start thinking, and then we will.
You do realise that with me and Fletcher in this, there's a good chance that this book will eventually get written because one of us will be like, I can make that work.
That's totally fair. I guess whoever starts writing this book first in real life just gets dibs on it. You're welcome to do that. Okay, so let's make this truly chaotic. I'm going to find a random number generator and I'm going to start with that. Random number generator. Let's go 1 to 4. Okay, so
3.
I'm 1, Mike's 2, Dirk's 3, Rob's 4. Whoever gets the number pulled comes up with like the initial first seed for what the story is. So maybe like a world detail, maybe like a character detail, maybe a plot detail. And then we can go from there. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Sure.
I sense so much fear. Okay. It's 2. So that means Mike.
Who is 2?
You're the one that
Me.
Starts.
Okay. Okay. So the basic plot slash character story, because to me, plot and character is actually the same thing. main character, personality is gone. A wizard has just stolen his personality to be sold on the black market. And here he is, this shell of he or she shell of a human, thrust out into the world on a quest to regain their personality.
That is pretty cool. Okay.
Do they have any memories?
Oh, yeah.
So they memories are still intact, but they have no personality.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like a baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now as they start doing stuff, as they start acting upon, you know, this quest, they're going to develop this whole new personality while questing to regain their old personality.
Nice.
Which they're probably going to end up jar. The two personalities will later jar.
Yeah. They might decide they don't like the old personality and just want to stay the new one.
That is very cool. I love that idea. That feels, it's almost like got some similar elements from Total Recall to some extent, where that's like, yeah, he figures out that like, oh, his mind has been wiped and he's developed this new persona that is totally at odds to, yeah, where he was at before. So I think that's a very cool idea for a fantasy book. I feel like this makes
or
sense to me to set
book,
it in
one
like,
that maybe where emotions can be harvested and sold on a black market.
Hey,
somebody should write
cheeky
that
plug
book,
for drones
they?
By Rob J. Hayes. This just instantly derailed into promoting Rob's book.
You can't promote a book that doesn't currently exist. It's no longer for sale.
Really? It's gone?
Yeah, I took my rights back, so I'll be self-publishing it myself in the near future.
Huh, good.
But anyway, that's a complete derailment. Back to the episode.
Yes. So the first thing that kind of came to mind when you were talking about this story, Mike, is this feels like it's going to be interesting if he's going through a world where this like individual struggle with reclaiming his identity and figuring out who he wants to be. It'd be interesting if that was kind of reflected
or
in
she,
the world.
Or she.
You know, yeah, so he or she, or whoever they are, like reflected in the world in a larger way. Like part of me almost wants to make this like a political story where, you know, a country is getting torn apart by these different people telling different narratives about like who they are and where this nation kind of comes from. And yeah, I think that could be interesting to have as a potential backdrop.
Yep. And one thing you know is personalities being sold and traded on the black market is a thing. So if it's happened to this main character, it's happened to a bunch of other people. Before. There are people wandering around kind of personalityless in search of either who they were or who they can maybe be in the future. Because personality, it's not like a set thing, right?
Yes.
You know,
but what's
it's
the benefit of buying a personality?
So just because you
what
get,
can you do with it?
Well,
what could make
I mean,
you cooler,
if,
right?
Here you are.
If
yeah,
you don't
you're,
like
yourself,
yeah, yeah, you don't like yourself, right? You're a coward or a whimper. You never do anything. You have no motivation, right? So I mean, people, we can start by defining what are we going to call personality traits. You know, I think that.
Yeah.
Would
so,
be
is it like you're buying a set, a whole personality, or are you buying someone's courage? Like, you know, in Wizard of Oz, I grant
the
you
whole
courage.
Thing, I think the
that's
whole
cool.
thing. I think
I like the aspects of it personally. Or do you think the whole? Oh, I guess the whole thing is more interesting because then, like, you might purchase the personality of someone to get their courage, but you might not realize that you're also getting like a lot of anxiety or like internal turmoils or like all these other negative things that maybe have motivated them to develop that courage in the first place and that don't outwardly manifest. That is interesting. Yeah. Hmm.
So what are personality traits? I mean, what are personality traits of a person being outgoing?
Yeah, I mean, there are tons of outgoing, bravery, cowardice.
Yeah.
Sense of humor,
boldness, wittiness,
empathy for animals but not people, or people but not animals. Is like our clinical things depression, is that part of personality in this world?
Yeah, it would be. It would be.
Probably feels like
so if you're buying a whole. Yeah. Personality and essentially, you know, consuming it, I guess, to take it on, then you get everything that comes with it. You might be, okay, I need to be brave, so you buy a brave personality, but then what you don't realize, what's not told you at the time, is it also comes with crippling anxiety.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. right? Or so, being or making really dumb mistakes or saying things you really shouldn't at times when you it would also be fun to kind of follow the person who got a new personality and is realizing, why did I just say that to that king? This might be a great, great warrior's personality, but boy, that fucker can get themselves in trouble.
Yes. On that note, like, if you are an incredibly, like, high status person in this society, so if you are a noble, if you are a really rich person, are you someone who is going to be acquiring a lot of different personalities? Or, like, I don't know, what's your kind of...
There could be a serious danger of trying to get too many personalities at once.
Well, I mean, if they're sort of like,
or you can wipe the old one out and get a new one. Wipe the old one out.
That's what I was thinking. Once you take a personality, is it then, you know, that it's there, it's imprinted on you, it's permanent, or can you sort of like take it off like a pair of clothes?
I like the hot swap.
Yeah, I was thinking take. Yeah, and so you're like, I'm wealthy, I've got a party coming up, but I'm a bit of an introvert. Go into the closet, get your extrovert personality on. Yes. It's still you, still got all your memories, but now you're it's you sort of shaped by a different sort of a driving personality, some different traits there. You go off to your party, you're the life of the party, you come home, swap into your I'm very relaxed and, you know, personality, and you're continually shifting who you are based on the situation.
So if I wanted Mike, I'd just snort some Fletcher dust. And then I'd be Mike.
It provides a very clear class difference between the sort of like the two levels of society. You've got these super rich elite who have collected personalities from others and can slip in and out of them and all of that lot. And then, you know, you've got the people at the bottom who will essentially, they'll have had to sell their personality for, I don't know, money to live. You know, they need a loaf of bread or whatever.
Rob, you've got me thinking of something with that. If we are kind of going to go with the like class differences between the two, which I think is a really good direction, I think that could kind of slot nicely into like an overall background of there's like some political stuff going on, maybe some sort of election thing. And the thing that was kind of just coming to my mind in terms of plot immediately there was the main character has lost like his personality and maybe like, yes, he doesn't really know what he's trying to do, but he is like somehow a candidate for that kind of quote unquote oppressed lower class in this upcoming election or whatever. And then the twist could maybe be that he is, well, I guess it's not memories that are being wiped per se, but I was thinking it'd be interesting if the twist was like, he thinks he's running to kind of help those people rise up. But when he gets his personality back, he realizes that he was actually just an agent of that upper class. And he was like trying to provide this false hope to that sort of lower strata of society. Yeah, but that might not work maybe. If we're going with like the, it doesn't take your memories, it just takes your personality. Unless now, he is a special case.
As far as world building goes, are we going fantasy or sci-fi? Is this a scientific process? Or is it?
Well, surely that's what magic. We need. This that's the a next spell. Person to choose. That's for the next person to choose by the rules of the game. You pick somebody else to choose.
Oh, I see. Okay, all we're right, still I'll, on number. We're still on number one. Okay.
Yeah technically.
Who's next, okay. Rob? Jed.
I will do the random number generator then. Let's see what we get. Okay, it's come up number one. What are we going to go? Fantasy or sci-fi? I feel like this concept lends itself to sci-fi more, but that's why I'm more interested in doing it in fantasy, because I think it's more interesting if it's set in this kind of like, I'm not sure if it should be like fully medieval. I think it could be kind of interesting if it's a bit more like modern fantasy-esque, if that makes sense. More about the political
like
intrigue.
Gas lamp kind of thing? Or
something like sorry? Gutter
prayer? Yeah, like gas lamp, prayer, that sort of thing.
Something like gutter prayer?
Yes, gutter prayer is perfect. That is a perfect kind example. Of world?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So what we've got so far is we've got a main character who they have lost their personality and they're just sort of a blank canvas. And
do they know that it was taken away?
Well, maybe
yeah,
this
I think
is what
that
we
has
to
be the quest, right?
Yes,
it's been stolen. They have to get it back. Mm-hmm. Actually, as a writer, the interesting challenge there is because they're going to need motivation, and somebody without personality is probably lacking motivation.
Yes,
the first thing they have to do is steal somebody else's personality. And so you're going to end up writing all these different personalities as the main character goes like, this one's not quite cutting it. I need somebody I need to be willing to do violence. And so he's like, tosses that personality and goes out, you know, like get somebody who's ready to be violent. And now you've got, when you're writing, you've got to shift who that person is.
Well, yeah, we are in the same character.
This is really interesting because... Yeah, like within a movie, I think this works really easily because you're still able to have attachment to the actor and what they're doing kind of visually provides a link for their behavior. But in a book, in a sense, when you're in a character's head, like all you have is their personality. So it's going to be an interesting challenge to like have to shift their voice.
You don't. You also have their history and the history you have built with them because you've experienced their character up until now. It's not just like you start a new chapter and it's like, oh, his a new character, but you know the same name or whatever. It's not. They have a history that you have experienced with them, so it's not like you have no connection with them. But to as the reader to witness a this character that you're following along suddenly shift and start acting in these weird, you know, almost out of character ways and to do things that might be reprehensible that a previous version of the character wouldn't have even considered doing, that can be quite both sort of jarring and just sort of emotionally wearing on you as the reader because you would be trying to reason away the things that this character is now doing because you kind of not imprint yourselves upon them, but you know, you're riding with them, you're part of them as you're experiencing them.
So I think what we it's
the whole idea of having the memories but no real accumulated personality that usually arises from memories. Could you possibly get some of your personality back by remembering the kinds of things that you did as you go along? Because you would remember if you were, you know, a soldier outgoing and had killed lots of people, you would remember that. But you wouldn't know how you were able to do those things, right? Does that make sense?
It does.
How did you work yourself up to be able to do that kind of thing?
It's a similar sort of thing.
Because you're basically, you're a baby. You're like, a parent, babies, you know, kids growing up, it's like, do I do this kind of stuff or do I not? And then they make those decisions and they go a particular path and develop a certain kind of personality as they go, as they learn it. So they could delve back in their memories of, you know, how they grew up, what their parents were like, what kinds of things they did or didn't do. It would be interesting. Almost if this was a king, this main character, who suddenly just didn't know how to be king, didn't know how. I know that I have sat at these war meetings and made these grand decisions, and I have no fucking idea how to do this. Does that make sense?
I feel like I'm leaning more towards a less higher status character for the main person, just so that you get the opportunity to go through the kind of different stratas of society a bit more. But yeah, like that could be an interesting concept.
If they're from a lower class, they wouldn't have access to other memories unless they become a thief and start stealing them because they can't buy them like the nobles can.
Yes,
which would be interesting.
The other aspect is if you've sort of lost your personality, but you still have your memories, you're essentially losing your emotional attachment to your own memories. However, it provides an interesting concept in if the memories are still there, then each personality you take, you will think about the things that you have done differently. So you may see the same scene, you know, a same memory in your head of, you know, this is that time that I killed somebody or whatever. And one personality that you take might be like, yes, I did it because I had to do it. That person had to die. And another memory that you, well, another personality that you then slot into might see the same scene, but just think, that was horrific. I could not have done that. Why did I do that? It's an interesting way of seeing the same scene, essentially, the same memory from different perspectives within one character.
It makes me think that there is 100% going to have to be like some, I don't know, like leper's island or asylum or whatever, where society has put all the like quote unquote bad personalities it doesn't want. Because
you don't want... Okay, I have an idea. It's not my turn, but I have an idea.
No, go for it.
Go.
Okay, how about this? The world is set almost entirely on floating cities because the surface is basically a giant penal colony for people who no longer have personalities.
He said penal.
Oh, I like it. With like tons of smoke and it's like this wasteland where like,
yes,
it's this nightmare.
But they have to harvest like food and everything from it. So they send down these sort of essentially slaves who no longer have personalities that they've stripped the personalities from to work this hostile environment while the upper class just float on giant cities.
And the personalities for those slaves that are sent down is like held hostage for them so that they don't rebel or anything like that. So you take the personalities from the slaves, you send them down, and you're like, you only get your personality back once you've done your week's work. And then you have like a week back here as normal, and then you have to go back down.
Okay.
Yes. Keep going. Sorry, Rob, I interrupted you. You're in the flow. Just thinking about how we can motivate the slaves. That's cool. I like that. So floating cities.
What about if the main character is the union leader for... that gives them a little bit of power.
Yeah.
Sits them in a position where they can interact in both levels of society.
That's cool.
But they've been somewhere along the way, they've challenged someone who doesn't like them being that way and wants their personality. So you could either nobles could either steal take personalities to put them aside, right? Do they have to put them in somebody and put them in a prison, or can they just keep them in a jar? Or they can take it because they want it themselves and use it themselves. There could be two reasons to take them.
I think we are allowing for people to absorb multiple personalities into themselves, which
not at the same time. At the same time,
I think at the same time. Yeah. What do you guys think? Because I think what that allows.
That way lies madness, but we kind of like madness.
Yes. Well, what that allows, Dirk, is like if you want to steal personalities from like 10 people and store them safely, not in yourself, you just get them all put into one person that you keep in a prison cell. And that person is like a battery.
Lunatic.
Yeah, that is storing all of their personalities.
So the personality doesn't go in a jar. It has to be in a person.
Has to be in a person, yeah. I think that's more interesting.
So instead of going to a closet and taking out the personality you want, you go to your chained madman and take out one of the 2 million personalities they have.
Yes. But of course.
All right. Sort of outside idea.
Yes.
Can you manipulate someone by changing their personality? Can there be an outside force with an end goal who is using our main character?
Surely.
And sort of moving them in the direction they want by sort of like by being in control of over what personalities they get when.
Yes, I like that because this plays back.
It gets
to that
a little complex,
idea.
But
no, I like that because I think it'd be a good twist if we have this union leader who is trying to make conditions better for that sort of lower class, but is secretly being manipulated by that upper class instead to create like a kind of false revolution that is actually under control of that higher up strata of society. So if that union leader has been like somehow implanted with this little aspect of personality that makes them do exactly what that upper class wants, then that ties in pretty nicely. So they'll think the whole time, like, I'm doing this to rebel, but really they're sort of just playing into the system nicely.
So we're at like 22 minutes on this episode. Should we come up with the blurb?
Sure.
Oh man, you can't come up with a blurb in a few minutes. That's insane.
Do it, Mike. Go.
I feel like we need a little few more.
In a world where personality is
a commodity.
A commodity. Where personality is a commodity. Steve has been robbed of all personality, bereft of the will to do anything. He desperately reaches out and steals Dave's personality because Dave happens to be close. Hijinks ensue.
Nice.
Fuck, I hate writing blurbs.
Hijinks ensue is the best way to end a blurb.
Dragons.
Yeah,
dragons. Are there.
Oh, shit, yeah, what should we call the book?
A memory of something.
An end to sorrow.
I was thinking, a memory of sorrow. Is that someone else's
memory?
Book?
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Memory. Or Norilska groans.
Yeah, it's Arcady, isn't it? Arcady. Something like that. It's that sci-fi one.
This is a really cool concept, guys. I like this.
What was the other one? There's a second book. I can't remember. Anyway. It sounded like that to me.
I feel like, yeah, are there any other kind of details we're thinking for this? Or do you think this is kind of like a good spot to just sort of, wrap it up? Like,
I think,
I don't know, what do you guys feel?
Fleshed out some things.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we've got enough that would be a good place to actually start if you wanted to write the book, to be honest.
To pick characters and plot out, yeah.
Sick.
You have a few characters. You have, like, you know, the major character. You have, like, somebody in the upper crust who's doing, you know, whatever they want with their own personalities. And then, you know, have a
the
few
grander conflict
in
the background, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Nice. I just like the floating cities and the underclass of people, like, down in the penal colony. That sounds sick.
Yeah, it's just because cities. You're from Australia.
You are from a penal colony.
As a convict's descendant.
Down below the rest of the world are the people in the penal colony.
I also trade my personality on various commodity exchanges in order to escape from the penal colony. Yeah. No, this was sick. This was actually very fun. That went so much better than I was expecting. So nice job, everyone. Good writing skills.
Thanks. It was fun.
Yeah, that was a sick concept.
It'd be funny if we were actually good at this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for 25 minutes, that's like, that's a kind of cool story concept. I would want to read that and find out how it goes. Mostly just the mystery of, like, yeah, who is doing this to the main character? How's that going to play out? Like, how's it going to work when he goes through all these, like, you know, 100 different personalities and how that affects him or whatever? Yeah, there's some cool stuff there. All right, well, if you enjoyed that episode, you can get more of Wizards, Warriors, and Words if you head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/Wizards, Warriors, Words. We've got a bunch of bonus extra episodes up on there as well if you want to check them out. Link is also down below. Thank you for watching or listening, and thanks for the episode idea, Bender. This was a lot of fun. We will see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.